As everybody knows, I believe in offering diverse perspectives on this show. So my next guests represent just that. One is a progressive civil rights advocate, entrepreneur, and the founder of Civics for the People. The other is a former Arizona police officer turned conservative YouTube political commentator and a staunch MAGA supporter. Please welcome back to Yours Truly, Straight Shooter with Yours Truly, the one and only Gary Chambers Jr. and Officer Brandon Tatum. Both have been on this show before. I loved having them on, so I want to invite them both back on again. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Thanks, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
After last night, man.
No. I'm not good. You're right. I'm not good. I'm not good after the Knicks lost, damn it. I'm not good, but I'm going to get over it for right now for the purposes of this conversation. Let's get right to it. Right now, the state of America is what, in your mind, Gary Chambers? Give it to me. How do you view America right now under the Trump administration, part two?
Chaotic, divided, and unorganized. I think that the Trump administration has brought a whole lot of chaos, very few solutions to the working class people's problem, and a fundamental lack of organization. Everything within his administration is a response to something that's taking place with somebody else. He doesn't have a real plan about how to address anything. We're at war, gas prices are high, food prices are still up, and Donald Trump is lying to the people every day on TV. And the lives of regular, everyday, working-class people in America are not improving.
Officer Tatum, your response to that would be what, as a conservative?
Well, I disagree. I think that we're going through some growing pains, but Donald Trump has made a concerted effort to help with the economy. He's trying to get tariffs put into place. Obviously, he's getting pushback on many of those things. The war is necessary. I mean, there are certain times where we have to get into conflict with different countries. And I think that Donald Trump has a solution. I believe that we're going to resolve this war very quickly, and we're going to see gas prices go down. Us controlling the Strait of Hormuz, us controlling things in Venezuela and Cuba and all of those things, and also Trump trying to gain some leverage in Greenland, all of the things that Donald Trump is doing things that's going to improve the country, which most other presidents were too cowardice to do. So somebody have to prevent pushing the can down the road and actually taking a tough position of trying to make things better. I do think that President Trump is on the right track. I think that there's obstacles. Let's give him the rest of his term and let's see how it pan out.
Gary, when you hear somebody, and listen, it's not an accident. I wanted two black men on this show to start off something that I'm going to be doing a lot of, black men, black women, you know, conservatives, liberals of all ethnicities. I'm not going to shy away from any of it. But considering the fact that both of y'all are black, like myself, I wanted to ask you, when you hear Officer Tatum highlight the things that he believes that Donald Trump is doing right, and he talks about how the liberals essentially would not have done a better job, whether it's Kamala Harris, whether it's Joe Biden or whomever, you know, when you hear what he explains and how he explains it, how can we take issue with that in your estimation?
I fundamentally disagree with him. If this war was going to be resolved as quick as Donald Trump said it would have been, it would have been resolved months ago. Instead, Brian Kemp just had to let the gas tax back into place, 33 cents added to the average Georgia driver's gas daily in order to cover the expenses of the state of Georgia because Donald Trump started this war. The other aspect, when you look at this, this has exposed America's weakness, because you were supposed to go in there and devour this country the way that you said you would in a matter of days. And then with drones and all types of things, they've drug you into a month-long war that has increased the cost of living for the people of America. And you talk about Greenland being a benefit. I'm from Louisiana. Jeff Landry, my governor, is off on these quests in Greenland about trying to make Greenland a part of this country. My state ranks 50 in the nation. We rank number 49 in economic opportunity. We rank number 50 in crime. We have one of the worst education systems in the country, one of the most terrible healthcare systems in the country. And my governor, on the request of the president that you supported, is spending time in Greenland rather than fixing the conditions of the people of Louisiana. And so I think that conservatives do a lot of talking around issues. But when you talk about the real meat and potatoes, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, Arkansas, some of the lowest ranked states in the country. All of their governors are Republican. All of their legislatures are majority, supermajority Republicans. So you can't tell me if the worst places to live in America are led by supermajority Republicans, how in the hell are those people to answer to the problems of the American people?
Officer Tatum, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, this is too easy. He could walk and chew gum at the same time. Greenland is strategic when it comes to our geopolitical strength. You can't just be isolated into one area and act as if we're going to have some type of economic success across the world. We don't just live on an island by ourselves, and it's just the United States of America doing business with the United States of America. But when it comes to some of these arguments about states that are run by Republicans, when you look at people who are struggling, it's these inner city communities. Majority of them are run by Democrats. Majority of them are majority Black. And I don't see none of these people in these inner city communities arguing and doing anything to help their own communities. They're still complaining about Louisiana. I know a whole bunch of people that go to private school in Louisiana, or people that go to really prominent schools in Louisiana, and they're doing just fine. So if you wanna argue about these inner city communities that are run majority by leftist policies and Democrats. And I'll tell you this, I hope that Mr. Chambers mentioned some of these things when Joe Biden was the president. I hope that he did. When Joe Biden did absolutely nothing when he was in office, when Joe Biden pretty much run our country down the drain, his military success was dismal. His withdrawal from Afghanistan was terrible. We were not respected around the world whatsoever. I hope that Mr. Chambers has something to say about that. And there's a reason why Mr. Donald Trump was elected president again. It's not through osmosis and because people are stupid. It's because the Democrats have done nothing and they have lied and they have been misleading the public. Donald Trump had another chance to come back because he has done so many incredible things for this country and for the Black community. Mr. Chambers cannot mention one thing that the Democrats have done for the Black community, and I'll mention a few that Donald Trump has, and I'll wait for him to start.
So, all right, well, I can follow up, Gary, but I know you were chiming, you were aching to chime in with what he had to say. So go ahead. I'll give you an opportunity to respond directly to what Officer Tatum just said, pointed out.
Number one, Stephen, I chuckled a bit because you talk about the economic prosperity or the economic relationship between countries. My governor, who has the 50th ranked economy in the state of the country, you send that guy to go do the economic envoy? So first of all, if Trump's about making deals, you sent the worst negotiator possible to go represent the people of America. That's number one. Number two, you talk about the inner cities. My daughter goes to public schools in East Baton Rouge Parish school system, and it's a great school that she goes to. Number two, when you talk about that, you say this inner city. We've had a Black mayor. We've never had a majority Democrat council in East Baton Rouge Parish. In the history of this parish, conservatives have always ran the government that approves the council, which approves the spending of every mayor that's ever existed. So when you talk about this majority Black city, because of gerrymandering, because of racialized voting, because of the things that have harmed Black people who make up 56% of the city, but we don't have a majority on the council. Let's prove another point. The East Baton Rouge Parish school system, which is 80% Black, because Baton Rouge had the longest desegregation case in America. We have an 80% Black school system, but a majority white Republican school board in a majority Black city, because we have a legislature that continues to deny Black people fair representation. So when you talk about these things, you chuckle because you don't have anything to go against these facts.
Come on with it, brother. The facts that I'm bringing up about local government, because
the reason conservatives like to talk about geopolitical things is because that's disconnected from Americans' everyday lives. The things that Donald Trump is doing is making your gas cost more money, but you're listening to this guy. It's making your groceries cost more money, but they're sending my governor to Greenland. They're making your insurance bills cost more money. Your hospitals are closing, and this guy thinks that these things are good for you.
Here you go. Let's talk about this. I could have sworn you just said your daughter goes to a school in this parish that you mentioned.
Public schools.
A public school.
You brought up private school.
No, I said, hold on, guys.
Ain't nobody getting cut off here. This ain't television where you getting cut off in 8 minutes because you got the 8 minute segment. I ain't cutting anything. So you can listen to each other. Go ahead, Officer Tatum. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was articulating how people are doing well in these private schools. You articulated that your daughter is doing well in this public school that's all Black and controlled by Republican, white Republicans. So make your mind up. Is the white Republicans doing you know, negative things in the inner city that's causing your daughter to go to a school that's bad, or your daughter go to a very successful school in the parish that you're talking about, run by white Republicans. Now, let's get to some other things when we talk about geopolitical perspective. You know, you're saying that Donald Trump sent Landry to Greenland, like he sent them there to live, like he sent them there to be the governor of Greenland. It's Donald Trump knows who has the ability to negotiate. People have the ability to make differences and changes. Landry won because he was incredibly successful as a politician there, and then he won the governorship. And I believe he's one of the best governors you guys have had. Now, if you want to blame every single aspect of what's happened in Louisiana on one governor, then that's problematic.
Also, let me interject by saying this. First of all, every hire that Donald Trump makes, every suggestion that he makes doesn't necessarily work. He's had a lot of turnover in his administrations, both one and two, number one. But I will say this to you, because it gets me to a bigger point. When we talk about geopolitics and you look at Donald Trump, whether it's in Israel, whether it's in Iran, whether it's in Venezuela, rumors about Cuba, et cetera, you even have folks on the MAGA right side that are saying, he's going against his campaign promise about putting America first. They have said that about him. How do you answer that, Officer Tatum?
I think I disagree. You know, there's a difference between saying we don't want endless wars that don't make sense and that we can't have a war at all. You know, when you have Iran getting a nuclear weapon, that's existential threat to the United States of America and all of our allies in the region. And the United States of America isn't the only country that's participating in stopping Iran from having a nuclear weapon. The UAE, Saudi Arabia, some of these other Muslim nations that don't want terrorists in their region are in lockstep with the United States of America and Israel to fight in those efforts. So I understand why Donald Trump has engaged in this. Donald Trump has never gotten us into an endless war like we were in Afghanistan and Iraq. I do believe that Donald Trump is going to get us out of this war. We're not going to stay in it, in perpetuity. He's going to get his mission accomplished and then we're going to get out of there. That's my faith towards what Donald Trump has done historically and what I believe he's going to do currently. We haven't been there for a year, you know, and Donald Trump has, and our military have controlled all of their military assets. They really have no leverage. That's why you don't see conflict back and forth. We're in that region, controlling the region. And that's the difference between us getting in the war and it's out of control. And we don't know, you know, what's coming next. They don't have any retaliatory availability against our United States military. They do not. I don't even think they have a Navy. So when we're looking at these things, it's a difference between having Trump derangement syndrome and saying everything he does is bad and saying, let me get a man a chance to prove himself. Now, if he's in war, we in war in that country for a year, 2 years, then me and you can have this conversation again. But until Donald Trump get an opportunity to finish what they started, then I'm going to support what he's doing.
Gary, let me transition to you by asking this question. When you listen to what Officer Tatum has to say, you know, to cliff note it from a generic perspective, he's talking about placing faith in a president that is Donald Trump, who he considers to be far better than anything the liberals have offered in recent memory. Because ultimately it harkens back. Every time I run across independents or conservatives, they're looking at what the Democratic Party hasn't done for the black community, and they're asking the question, why should the community's faith be placed in that party? Why not try something new, even if it is Donald Trump? To that, you explain what?
Number one, I would say that I want to address that he brought up that Iran can't handle us. The retaliation from Iran is economic retaliation. They are forcing the American people to have an economic pressure right now that may cost Donald Trump the midterm elections. That's
you talking about the Strait of Hormuz? You talking about the Strait of Hormuz?
Yes, closing the Strait and costing the American people money every single day that Strait is closed. That's number one. Okay. Number two, when you talk about Democrats versus conservatives. Right now in this country, a conservative majority Supreme Court is stripping away power from black people to serve in Congress. Now, he can shake his head at that, but why does that matter? Because as somebody black in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where Louisiana elected the first black person to Congress in the history of this country, Willis Menard in the 1800s, Willis Menard was denied the ability to serve in Congress because a person who was from Congress who later became president said that it was not time for a black man to serve in Congress. You follow that up and you go 100 years later before William Jefferson is elected to Congress in the late 1980s. William Jefferson, Cleo Fields, Cedric Richmond, Troy Carter. four people in the history of this country that are Black have served in Congress from the state of Louisiana. In that same time, 170 plus white men have gone to Congress from Louisiana in the same period of time. But you're sitting here telling me that this is a fair system to Black people. And the people who are orchestrating taking away that power from Black people is Donald Trump and his Supreme Court. And as a Black person who lives in one of the impacted communities, this is the first time in my lifetime since I was six that a Black person represented me in Congress from all of Baton Rouge. What does that mean? It means that Southern University, the only HBCU system in America, is finally getting financial appropriations from the federal government to improve the campus of Southern University so that young Black children can be educated up on that campus. When Gary Graves was there, he wasn't sending any money to Southern University, but Cleo Fields surely is. And that matters to Black people who are from Baton Rouge, who live in North Baton Rouge, where that is an anchor within our community economically.
So he's in an affected community, but his daughter goes to a prominent school that's doing very, very well. She's doing great, and it's run by white people. Now let's go to the point.
Hold on, officer. Gary, what's not true about what he just said?
The school system is ran by a Black man, that is Lamont Cole, and the school that my daughter attends is a magnet school in the public school system, because my family decided to put my daughter in early childhood education, and we had the resources in order to provide for her. My daughter goes to one of the best schools in East Baton Rouge Parish school system. Now, I'm not talking about the majority of the school system, and the original point that I made was about Louisiana's public schools ranking number 47 in the country.
All right, let me just prove my point, my man. A Black man run this school and is very successful, and a Black family has an opportunity to put their Black daughter in a very prominent and successful school in Louisiana. So the white man don't have no power over what you can accomplish if you guys put your stuff together, get your stuff together and do the right thing. Now let's get to this whole thing about race. You're saying Black people represent me. It ain't about race. It's about whether a person can represent the constituency or not. Are they effective or are they not? Because it doesn't matter about the color of somebody's skin, because we had a Black president that did nothing for Black people. He did nothing. Donald Trump did more for Black people than Barack Obama could ever dream of. When you talk about loan guarantee, or not loan guarantees, when you talk about money that has been guaranteed given to HBCUs, Donald Trump secured that and Obama could never secure that. When you talk about opportunity zones, when you talk about the First Step Act, that's legislation that was passed under President Donald Trump that Barack Obama would never in his life dream of doing. You cannot name one thing that Barack Obama has done. You cannot name one thing that a Black politician who's a Democrat has done to help the black people in your community or communities across the United States of America. You can't name one. And then let me say this. You keep saying that somehow the white man is making sure Black people are not serving in Congress. There's a ton of Black Democrats that are serving in Congress. There's a ton of them.
They're attempting to take their seats
through what?
The Supreme Court gerrymandering their seats away.
That's where I was going next with the whole redistricting and gerrymandering issue.
Mr. Chambers, you're wrong. In many of these cases, the reason that the redistricting did not work out, especially in Louisiana and other places, because they were doing it based on race, and that is not constitutional. And so if you're going to say you need to redistrict because Black people need a benefit or Black people should be represented, white people can't do that either. So that is the reason why some of the redistricting and lines being drawn was denied by the Supreme Court, is because they did it based on race. This is what Black people have been fighting for so many years, that you cannot make those decisions based on race. And when they try to make them based on race, they were denied in the Supreme Court.
Officer Tatum, I respect where you're coming from. I guess my pushback, and I'll let Gary chime in a second. I just want to add my two cents here. I guess where I chime in, I feel compelled to chime in. When we think about civil rights, when we think about the Voting Rights Act, when we think about things of that nature, I'm looking at it from the standpoint that once upon a time, okay, even though a lot of us will look at it, racism still exists. You know, it might not be as obvious in a lot of people's eyes, but there's no question that racism still exists. Make no mistake about it. And we ain't gonna get around that. But the point is, it was so glaring, it was so flagrant, whether it was Jim Crow laws or anything else, okay, in the 60s and beyond, or even before that. The reality of the situation is the laws that came into play were necessary. And so why were they necessary? Because we had a community within our country that were taking advantage. They had the power. They obviously were exploiting it at every turn. And it took federal legislation to be implemented in order for us to negate the kind of momentum they were continuing to build and build and build for decades, if not longer. So my point is that when we sit up there and we say, well, you know what, redistricting and gerrymandering and these issues had to be addressed because people were making decisions based on race. I'm like, but that's because decisions beforehand were made by race, were made on the basis of race, but it was just by the side in power. How can we ignore that reality that it was compelled? How can we ignore that?
Which were the Democrats. So Mr. Chambers claimed that I'm assuming he claimed he's a Democrat. I'm assuming that he voted for Democrats. He's saying that Democrats will do a better job than Republicans, even in his state. But the people who were implementing these things that were against Black people, Jim Crow and all of the above, were all Democrats. You know, slavery was initiated by Democrats. Republicans are the ones that abolished slavery. Republicans are ones that majority voted for and passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. Unanimously, it was not the Democrats. Democrats in the Jim Crow South, the Dixiecrats, were the ones that were prejudiced and racist against Black people. And so I would like for Mr. Chambers to acknowledge at least that the history of racism and prejudice and putting Black people aside were perpetuated by Democrats. And they're lying today, acting as if Republicans are doing these things. When you look at the majority of Black cities, are run by Democrats and they've run it into the ground. The murder capital of this country is a Democrat-run city that's full of Black people. Why is that the case?
Gary, go ahead.
Okay. He said a whole lot of things. Number one, white supremacy is what I'm against. I'm not sitting here arguing with you about Democrat or Republican. White supremacists were orchestrating these things against Black people. Now, do white supremacists switch political parties? Yes. In America, they were Democrats in the beginning, they're Republicans today. And the proof of that is Steve Bannon and the likes of those folks are in the Republican Party. Stephen Miller is in the Republican Party. The Project 2025 comes out of the Republican Party. I let you finish, now let me cook. When you go furthermore, when you talk about the lack of things that have happened for Black people, I just told you a Republican represented me in Congress for a decade, Garrett Graves. Not a damn thing happened for North Baton Rouge economically while Garrett Graves, a white Republican, was in Congress. I'm not talking about in 1965. I'm talking about in the time that I have been a voter, voting for the people that were able to be elected within my congressional district. Until Cleo Fields was there, where they gave Black representation, there was not a $9 million investment happening within 5 minutes away from my home. 5 minutes away from my home, there's a $9 million investment where young Black people are going to be able to go in the community and enjoy themselves because of Congressman Cleo Fields. That kind of stuff wasn't happening in my neighborhood when Garrett Graves was in Congress, the white Republican. Furthermore, when you dig deeper into the conversation about the impact for Black people from Democrats, if you look at how these things work to be effective, I understand government very well. Local government relies on state government and federal government to help them meet the needs of the people because the resources are limited. If the local government is being boxed out by the state government, which happens all the time here in Louisiana, if you have a Republican governor, they're going to help Republican elected officials in those cities. Or you have a governor like Jeff Landry, who has been targeting New Orleans ever since he became the governor. You talked about Jeff getting elected. He got elected, Stephen, with 19% of registered voters in the state of Louisiana. 19%. We're not talking about a man who was elected with an overwhelming majority. The election turnout was so low in the election that only 19% of the registered voters in this state voted for him. 500,000 people. There are 925,000 registered Black voters in Louisiana. The reason Louisiana continues to be in this condition is because, now this is where you could agree with me on something. The Democratic Party continues to fail Black candidates as well. The Democratic Party continues to think that white is right all the time, and they end up losing in races where they could be more competitive because they won't invest. Right now, you have a brother running in Mississippi for the U.S. Senate in Scott Colomb. Scott Colomb is a district attorney in Mississippi that's already elected. How much money has the Democratic put into Scott's campaign to beat Cindy in Mississippi? He has a real shot. He has a real shot because Mississippi is 38% Black, Stephen.
Let me ask you this, hold on for a second. Guy, let me ask you this question, because sticking with this gerrymandering issue, the black vote, states impacted, your state, Louisiana, obviously, Texas, Ohio, North Carolina, South Carolina, those are the primary states affected. I'd ask you this question, considering everything that you just highlighted and everything that you just said, Gary, how would you explain the fact that Trump gained black voters in the last election?
I think that the Democrats do a terrible job talking to black people. I think that the Democrats do a terrible job talking about the issues that are important to black people. I think that though the Democrats have a better economic plan for making the economy work, the data proves, even when you brought up the war, who put us in the forever war? George Bush put us into the 20-year war that we ended up in that cost America billions of dollars on end. Republicans put us in economic peril and Democrats dig us out. When Barack Obama took office in 2008, the economy was in a trash can. When he left office in the end of 2016, he gave Donald Trump a prospering economy that he ran into the trash can. Joe Biden pulls it up a little bit. Donald Trump runs it back into the trash can. And Joseph here sits there and tells us that that's the solution for the American
people. But Gary, how can you say... Like, for example, Biden ran it back into the trash can when they, you know, it wasn't just him, it wasn't just Obama, it was Trump too, and I get it, George W. Bush as well. We got a $39 trillion debt. Everybody, every administration has contributed to that. These cats spend money. They're not saving, they're not cutting, they're not investing.
Who started the war, though, that contributed to the debt and sending us way into the left field? Conservatives. Conservatives. Yeah. When Bill Clinton left office, the debt was going down. He was taking the debt down under Bill Clinton.
Surplus.
George Bush comes in, and we haven't come back yet. So you have to. We have to. One of the things that I hate about the way we do politics. Let me slow down. One of the things I hate about the way we do politics is we act like we can't remember what the cause of a thing is. We talk about all of the symptoms, all of the things that happen after that. But how did we get here? And if we deal with the very beginning of a thing, we can begin to fix it. When you talk about this gerrymandering thing, Stephen, to button that up. I'm from the city where the men who filed the lawsuit are from. I know some of the people who filed this lawsuit. I know they're racist. We don't have to ask anybody, are some of these people racist individuals? I've sat at lunch with these individuals. I know that they don't support black candidates when they run for office in this community. I know very well that some of these individuals mean well in their heart on certain things, but when you get to talking about race, they cannot see past certain issues because they feel like in some way we are taking something from them when the reality is we have never had this.
All right.
Let me jump in here.
Go ahead.
There's a real big issue with liberal-minded black people in this country because they want to be overly reliant on the government. That's the biggest problem. And so they think the government is their daddy. They think the government going to fix everything. A huge problem. Democrats have done nothing, as the gentleman has explained. They've absolutely done nothing. There's so many things I want to touch on. Barack Obama, he said, I agree with him on this point. Let's agree on this, that every president has run us into debt. And you can't forget that 9/11 happened. That ran us into debt. George Bush got us in the war, but the rest of the presidents kept us in the war. Barack Obama didn't pull us out of the war. Many of these other presidents that preceded him could have got us out of the war, but they didn't. Do you not remember when Barack Obama gave pallets of money in the middle of the night to Iran? I mean, so we cannot act like Donald Trump is the only one that's getting us in some war.
But it wasn't just giving them money. It was basically pulling the constraints off of money that the United States government owed Iran at that time.
In the middle of the night, they gave him money.
I know that, but I'm talking about what the cause, what the reason for it was. It was their money, as opposed to us giving them the money.
Right, and there ain't no way in the world we should be giving a terrorist money. And the way in which he did it was secretive because he did it in the middle of the night with pallets of money. So he contributed to Iran's proliferation of hatred and terrorism, which then had led to us to actually have to do something about it right now. But I want to get to this racism thing. I know Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller is not a racist. Jeff Landry. I know Jeff Landry. He invited me to go gator hunting with him before he was governor. Jeff Landry is not a racist. The problem is, man, you can disagree with their policies and say that they're a bad politician. Well, then go and get a better politician. But to continue to act like these people are racist, Donald Trump is racist. I know Donald Trump. I met Donald Trump several times. These people are not racist. And when you guys say racism, 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 you cheapen what real racism is, and you're not getting to the core crux of what's going on. If you don't like the policy position, just say you don't like the policy position. I don't like any politician that's getting us into debt. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. But at the end of the day, when you look at leftist, liberal, Democrat policies, they destroy this country more than any other political party. Let me just give you an example. And this is what they're doing to destroy Black people. Letting all these illegal aliens into this country, unvetted, unfettered. They come in here by the tens of millions. And now what does that do for Black people? Those jobs, low income or the startup jobs, entry-level jobs, the labor jobs, all these illegals are taking those jobs from Black folks. When you talk about government assistance, Black people who actually need it, when you talk about resources that can be given to these inner city schools, resources that can be given to Black people and building their community, where are they going? To illegal aliens. All of these things that the Democrats are doing, what else are they pushing? They pushing transgenderism. They pushing all kinds of stuff, and none of it had anything to do with Black folks. Reparations. We had a Black president. Why didn't he mention reparations one time while he was the president? Not one time did Barack Obama mention reparations or say he was going to give reparations or did anything about reparations. It's just a pony show, man. I feel like the Republicans actually have a mission and a plan for everybody in America, and it's just not Black people. Because just because your skin color is Black, in my opinion, in America, it doesn't mean anything. It's who are you? Who are you as a person? What do you want to see this country do? That means more than your race.
Gary, you could say I'm the confused one of the three of us here, because obviously you're on the left, he's on the right. I get that part. I would like to explain before you chime in, Gary, what my position is and why I'm so happy to be talking to the both of y'all right now. Because on one hand, I can sit up there and I can feel obviously a bit differently than Officer Tatum when it comes to, you know, racism really being a poignant issue in this country. But nevertheless, I do relate to what he's saying from the standpoint that bringing it up and constantly leaning on it doesn't get us too many places. At some point in time, you got to handle your business. You're going to have to deal with the adverse circumstances, whatever they may be, and you're going to have to adapt and overcome. That's what I try to lean on. And as a registered independent, the reason why I say I'm a registered independent is because I don't want either party to believe they have my vote lock, stock, and barrel. Earn it. Flatter me. Show me that you got a plan in place, that you're trying to do something, if not directly for my community, policies that would affect America in a very positive way enough for me to say that my community can benefit from it. That's how I'm looking at it. Others may think otherwise, but I'm just saying, Gary, when I think about it and I address it that way, what do you say to the argument that when you listen to an Officer Tatum and he's talking about the plight of the Black community and how leaning on a Democratic Party hasn't necessarily worked for us? You yourself have said you've been critical of Democrats yourself because they don't know how to talk to our community. There's a lot of things they don't do for our community other than give us lip service to some degree. You didn't leave it at just that, but you implied that to some degree. What do you say to Republicans and anybody for that matter that points to the Democratic Party and the Black community and say, what have you done for us? When are you going to really, really do something substantive for us rather than just come to us every 2 to 4 years to vote for you?
The reason these conversations frustrate those of us who really do this work is what Officer Tatum did was a bunch of dog wagging the tail or chasing the car. I gave very specific examples of how Cleo Fields as a congressman brought investment into my community as a Democrat, as a Black Democrat. I said that multiple times. I talked about how Garrett Graves was in Congress representing me for over a decade and did not bring investment into my community. I'm not talking about what's happening in Iran. I'm talking about what's happening in East Baton Rouge Parish. I'm telling you that if gas costs more money today, and he's talking about transgenders. I'm telling you that people's energy bills and hospitals are closing, and that the people that I support have a plan for that, and he's telling you about something happening somewhere else. Can I cuss, Stephen?
Yes, you can.
It's a mind fuck. It's a consistent mind fuck that Republicans try to take us on by talking about things that they know rile up all of these moral issues with a bunch of immoral leaders like Donald Trump.
My only pushback is when you say mind fuck, that ain't just confined to the Republican Party. There's a whole bunch of Democrats that give us some mind fucking. Mind fucking too now.
What you know, Stephen, is that the person who does the best at the media owns the day. Okay, you do a phenomenal job at owning this fucking stage that you have. So you own the day in sports on a regular basis, and it has built you to where you are. Donald Trump has understood how to own the media, so much so he took out every conservative that was supposed to be a legitimate conservative contender when he ran for office, because he understood how to own the day on the media. He does not know how to solve problems of the American people, and the proof is in the results of your expenses having you having less money in your bank account. There are less money in the savings accounts of Americans today than when Donald Trump took office. Why is that? People are spending more money on their credit cards today than when Donald Trump took office. Why is that? So ask the questions about, he said, this man, propagandist, got put a damn McDonald's uniform on, went to McDonald's, gave out some French fries, acting like he was caring about working class people. And the people who work in those same restaurants, he would not raise their wages. He would not give them a raise. He would not raise the minimum wage in America. It's $7.25. So if Donald Trump cares about working class people, right? If he really cares about the people who work at McDonald's, get Mike Johnson, get the president of the Senate to raise the minimum wage. Now, he's going to say raising the wages of American people doesn't matter. Well, you're spending their damn tax dollars to bomb the Iranian people. You're spending their damn tax dollars to go kidnap the president of Argentina. You're spending their, is it Argentina or is it
Venezuela? Venezuela.
Okay, Venezuela. You're sending people to Argentina to lock them up. You're spending my tax dollars to do everything. You're sending my governor of the 50th ranked state to Greenland, but you can't fix my potholes. You can't give me a new bridge. You can't get me a community center in the community. Don't tell me nothing about no opportunity zone that you ain't got a community center in the gym in the neighborhood where the kids need the opportunity.
That's local. You're mixing a lot of stuff. You said you weren't
going to talk
about. Let me say, you said you weren't going to talk about foreign stuff, and you throwing in foreign wars and all that. Your potholes are not Donald Trump's problem or no federal president's problem. That's a mismanagement of state funds. That's a state issue. Your schools and parks and your city is a city and state local
issue. They all get federal funding.
That has nothing to do with the president if you want to make it primarily his fault.
But I'm going to let you go on, Officer Tatum. Just answer that one question. Is he right? Do they all get federal funding? I believe that is the case. Do they not all get federal funding?
In part, not every single.
And they could get more federal funding if they were spending it on a war.
Let him go, Gary.
About this. This is where he's convoluting things. If you're claiming that Landry is in the pocket or best friends with President Donald Trump, you would think that he would have all the federal funding that he needs, and therefore Louisiana has a lot of federal funding, so you shouldn't be complaining about it. But at the end of the day, that's not really the solution. There are federal funds that do go towards some things that matriculate down to local policy, but that's not the crux of it. It's poor spending by some of these states and cities are mismanaged. That's why you can't get your pothole fixed. That's not a president thing. And then let's talk about this country, and let's talk about who has a solution and who doesn't. Democrats do not have a single solution for none of this stuff. They are doing racism, racism, racism. President Trump, I told you, Opportunity Zones was a federal thing that gave federal funding to underserved Black communities. Donald Trump ending or shutting down the border, not letting illegal aliens bombard our country, voting in our elections, taking resources and money from our government, which is hurting Black people and America as a whole. Also influxing people that come into this country that don't believe in American values, that do not want to assimilate. They are tearing our country apart. Those things have been solved by President Trump in the Republicans' message. The Democrats are not offering anything. This is why, like, for instance, I bet Mr. Chambers cannot argue why Kamala Harris would have been better than President Donald Trump. Why would she have been better? What did she actually run on? What was her actual message? That's why Black people didn't vote for her. That's why she lost in a landslide to President Trump, whom you say haven't done nothing for the country. He got another chance because he has a solution that none of these Democrats are pushing. And it's really, to me, it's not about Democrat, Republican. Democrats just happen to suck. I care about who is going to do what's right for this country. If a Republican will not do right and don't have a solution for this country, then I would never vote for him. I want to go to the minimum wage thing. Minimum wage is not just on the government. I have employees that are entry level in my company, and I do not pay them minimum wage. I pay them far beyond minimum wage. That's not just a president's issue. That's a local issue. That's a business issue as well. States have their own minimum wages. The federal minimum wage is a lot lower than Arizona state minimum wage. I think our minimum wage is like $12 an hour or $13 an hour. It just went up. That has nothing to do with the federal minimum wage. So you complaining about that, in my personal opinion, is not the solution to the problem. The government is not going to fix everything. And I think that we need to understand that. And then also, let's go to your quarrels about the government and all this. And what are Black communities doing to help themselves? Because Black people have been voting for one party. Let's just let's not say it's Democrat. Let's just say, let's just take the Democrat Republican out of it. They've been voting one way for 60 years and still complaining. So what does that mean? Every other year, there's a Democrat in office. That means that you are not voting for your own best interest. That's why you still complaining.
Well, Officer Tatum, I would push back on you by saying this, because I want to make sure that I'm fair to you as well. When you say they, you are a Black man, and you're saying they as if you're not a part of the community. Do you realize that? And do you realize
I'm talking about the ones who voting for the Democrats.
Okay.
They, people like Gary. Okay.
That's why I'm asking.
They. When I say they, I'm talking about them Black folks that's voting for Democrats, you know, with no demand of anything in return. I hate Republicans because they white, and so I'm going to vote for these Democrats, and Gary, they ain't done nothing for Black people.
Gary, I will go here, Gary. The minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, has been $7.25 an hour. That has remained unchanged since 2009, from the time Obama was in office, first term. Just wanted to say that. Give you the floor.
First thing I want to say, brought up tax revenue from the feds. Louisiana gets more from the federal government than we send to the federal government in resources. United States actually needs the federal resources in order to meet the needs of the American people. You can ask Jeff Landry yourself, if the feds cut that federal water off, if he can meet the needs of the people of Louisiana, he's going to tell you no. When the SNAP stuff was cut up, the reason Jeff Landry was in such a tizzy is because all of the grocery store owners are reliant on the ability of those SNAP customers so that they can pay their grocery bills as a grocery owner. So Donnie Rouse, who owns Rouse's grocery store, he was concerned about whether or not the SNAP benefits got paid too, because if the people who get SNAP benefits can't pay their SNAP benefits, don't get their SNAP benefits, they're not in the grocery store spending their money with Donnie Rouse. Okay, so when the legislators in the Republican legislature here were concerned about that Fed money, they weren't concerned about their poor white working class workers. I'm not done. They weren't concerned about their poor working class white voters. They were concerned about their business owners who were going to not be able to meet their margins. Second part, when you talk about the money, that's our money. When Black people start talking about an investment from the government, that is our tax dollars that we are paying to the government. And everybody gets to ask for their tax dollars to come back to their community, but Black people. When Black people, you just said we want the government to do it. No, I want the government to be true to what it said on paper. If you're going to take care of the damn roads and bridges, take care of the roads and the bridges in my community too. If you're going to take care of the parks, take care of the parks in my community. In my community, around the corner from me is Glen Oaks High School. It flooded in 2016. When it was repaired, they spent $16 million to repair it. When Baton Rouge High was built, they spent $64 million. When the school that my daughter goes to was built, they spent $60 million. When they built the Struma High School in the Black neighborhood, they spent $20 million. I asked them, do the curtains here cost less than the curtains that you put on the building on the other side of town, or are you just shorting the Black kids over here? So when you talk about some of these things, I'm saying that Black people who go to work every day, like my mom and daddy, who live in the same neighborhood I do across the street from me, who've been paying taxes in this community for 30 years, but every time they wake up, there's another resource leaving their community. And it's not at the hands of the Black people that they voted for, it's at the hands of the white people who continue to deny the access to the Black people because of race. A thing that you continue to deny is a factor.
Is your city council member Black that represents your district?
Yes. My city council is majority white. Republican.
No, but is your representative Black?
What part are you missing?
Is the person representing your community?
See, this is where the game is.
He's at a disadvantage, Officer Tatum, because he's operating. He's operating in a silo. He's by himself. He's outnumbered.
That's what Gary's saying. In a majority black city.
To me, that's, you know, this is the problem.
This is the lie. No, this is where conservatives are lying every day.
No, you just make everything about race.
I live in a majority black city. I live in a majority black city. I have a community where we have never had black people as the majority on the city council because of gerrymandering. And your black ass is sitting here telling me that it doesn't matter.
Now, you're assuming that white people are all racist and evil.
I never said that.
So a white person can't represent your community because they're white?
See, now you're lying. This is another thing. I'm asking you.
No, it's no tactic. Just talking.
Guys.
Hold on. Let me just say, ain't nobody getting cut off, y'all. One at a time. Ain't nobody getting cut off. I'm not editing any of this out. I know that. I understand that. You don't get your. The floor is yours. I'm just letting you know. You ain't getting cut off. This is not getting edited. I'm letting y'all speak. Go ahead. Go ahead, Officer.
This is what I would respect what Gary's saying if he said. We have not had proper representation, meaning people have not represented us properly, not because of the color of their skin. You're drawing representation properly being met with because they ain't never let a black person do it. Are you saying that white people are inherently against black people and representation?
I'm saying the white men that represent us here are trash.
You're saying none of the white people care about none of the black people in your city.
This is a tactic. No, he didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
No, I'm asking. This is a tactic. You keep saying, we ain't done nothing, ain't done nothing, ain't done nothing until they get a black person in.
No.
You're saying the problem is because there's majority white. That's what you said. You didn't say it because they're majority corrupt. You said because they're majority
quickly, Gary,
white.
Gary, go ahead. Gary, real quickly, go ahead and answer. Real quickly, go ahead and answer.
I'm going to say that, and you may agree with me here, that if you're from a community, if you were born and raised in a certain community, I was born and raised in North Baton Rouge in the Glen Oaks area. I understand Glen Oaks. The majority of the people who live here are black. That happens to be a part of my cultural understanding, okay? There are certain things that I experienced growing up in this neighborhood that a white person that grew up in Kennilworth may not have experienced. Therefore, the person who is white from Kennilworth does not have the same lived experience as me, so I don't want that person to represent me. So I'm not done. So I would rather someone who has a same lived experience, who cares about some of the same thing. That's what white people are asking for every day. Why, when black people ask for it, is it somehow wrong?
How do you think, where do you see white people asking for stuff like that?
They don't have to say white. They say stuff like people with the same moral fabric as us, people who have the same cultural beliefs as us. The shit you were saying 5 minutes ago.
My cultural beliefs are American beliefs. What are you saying?
What the hell is an American belief?
What do you mean? Loving your country, working hard,
that just
American dream.
So if you believe that that's an American belief, why is it acceptable for America to just go into other countries and snatch their presidency? Would that be acceptable for somebody to come over here and snatch our president? Would you think that shit was acceptable?
Well, if we let them do it, then they'll do
it. No. You're not answering the question. See, some of the things that we do to create conflict.
I don't have a problem with our president going and removing.
I'm a box for the girl right here.
If I don't mind that our president.
Hold on, fellas. One at a time.
If you don't think it's acceptable for somebody to come over here and snatch our president, why the hell is it acceptable for America to go around the world and snatch people's presidents, decide who can have what, and you can't even fix your own fucking country? We're in debt to our neck talking about national defense, and you can't even protect the people in your own country.
Why do we get Maduro? Why do we go and extract Maduro from?
Oil.
That's your opinion.
Oil.
Maduro committed crimes. Maduro committed crimes against the United States.
Two things could be true. Nobody's acting like he didn't commit crimes. But let's not act like we ain't over there for that oil. Now, I'm trying to go Dave Chappelle out here, but let's not act like we ain't there for the oil.
Let me talk.
Netanyahu is a current war criminal.
Gary, let him talk.
So, it's not as simple as oil. He committed crimes against the United States of America. He was not a duly elected president. We went in and held him accountable in the United States for his crimes. That's why we extract him. But also, here is your thing. You keep saying, why are we over there doing this? And when we got, if we over there for oil, the oil benefits America, does it not?
Therefore,
we're making an investment to go over there to
we're
make
stealing.
Sure we have control of oil.
We're
what do
stealing.
You mean? It does, so what?
Guys, Guys, let me throw this last question out to both of y'all. I've got a conservative and a liberal in front of me talking with one another right here. And one of the things that I've lamented throughout the years is the fact that there's such a divide in this country, period, but especially with black folks when it comes to political affiliations, that somehow, some way, how do you get to a point where if you can't come together, you can agree without being disagreeable? I'm not saying y'all were disagreeable or anything like that. I'm not going there. I'm just saying I think everybody needs to hear from people like both of y'all about educating yourself, edifying yourself, communicating with one another in a fashion where somehow, some way, this divide, this schism that exists doesn't have to be as glaring as society has proven it's been in recent memory, as some would say it's proven to be right now with the two of you talking. Is there any way that the gap can be closed where you can find, you can imagine yourselves finding some level of common ground? I'm talking about politically speaking, in terms of your ideology, your thoughts.
I think 100%. If we love our country, we respect our country, we believe in the American dream, we believe in capitalism, and we can come together on that principle. And we believe in the founding, which the founding was a Christian nation that believe in God and all of those things. If we come together on those points, we can figure out and weave through some of our disagreements. But at the end of the day, man, you have to believe in the Constitution. You have to love this country. You don't have to like the entire history, but you got to have respect for where we came from and where we are today. If we can acknowledge that, I think the rest of it is history. We'll begin to come together. We'll begin to vote very similarly and not use these, political biases to distract us, because I'm black. I grew up in a black community. I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. I grew up in Stop Six, got Eastwood tattooed on my forearm, went to Dunbar High School, all black school, my whole family black. So I have a black experience in this country, just like you do, Gary. And I honestly believe if we come to those agreements that I said, and we see it through that lens, I think we'll agree on and probably vote very similarly, on a broad perspective.
Gary, your thoughts?
Number one, I think, healthy black folk debates get loud, bombastic, yeah, and all of that stuff.
Totally.
That thing
totally.
That is
right.
It's venomous, right? Yeah. Black folk can cuss each other out and still be in love with each other 2 seconds.
That's right.
I think these discussions are necessary because they iron sharpens iron. Number two, I think that I'm black first. Before I'm anything, I'm black. My mom and daddy, when they conceived me, the first thing they knew about me before they knew I was going to be a boy, before they knew if I was going to be a girl, before they knew what sexual orientation or all any religion or any of those things, the first thing they knew about me, he going to be black. And because America has made decisions about black people from its inception, from the founding of this country, made determinations about black people, wrote laws about black people, denied black people the access to the ballot box, denied black people freedom, raped our women, stole us from other lands, and even once given us freedom, has made us fight for every inch of that freedom to maintain it, and continues to fight with us with that. I will not deny those facts, because those facts still permeate through the laws and policies that exist in this country.
So are you saying, is that your way of saying, in order for conservatives and liberals, particularly those who happen to be black, to come closer together, there has to be an acknowledgement in your eyes on the other side that those things that you just pointed out are a reality that are inescapable? Before
if
you
we're talking about America, before we're talking about black people, we're not on the same page. That is the problem, that you are more committed to America than to your own humanity.
What you mean by humanity, dude? I'm an American. You an American. I answer.
I'm a human before I'm an American.
Yeah, you can say you're a human, but you live.
I'm one of God's children before I'm American. And
I agree.
If you believe in that Bible you say you believe in, are you more God's child or more an American?
I'm more God's child than American.
Or if you're more God's child than God.
Let me speak, Gary. Let's be Gary.
If people listen to this, they notice that Gary is living in the past and I'm talking about us reuniting in the future. Everybody knows what slavery is all about. Now, Gary kind of misled when he said that they stole us off of these places. We were traded into slave trade, imprisoned and enslaved by other black people that then sold us around the world. So that point, we acknowledge that there are ills that happen in this country. And black people took the brunt of a lot of it. We weren't the only ones. but we took a brunt of a lot of it. This country has not always been great to Black people. I acknowledge that. Can we understand that? But to act as if we're still living in this perpetual state of racism that has something to do with your everyday life, that we ain't never going to be able to come together if you believe that, man. If you say you Black first, that's crazy. That's like a white man saying, I'm white first.
They are.
They wrong then.
America is white first, man.
No, America is not white first.
America considered you property. You were
That's a long time ago, bro.
Sir, let me ask you something. This is where the disconnect comes from for us. When you say they traded Black people, if you were traded, would you consider that you were stolen or traded? If it was you, if somebody took you right now and against your will and took you to another country, would you consider that you were traded or would you consider that you were stolen?
If somebody enslaved me
yes.
and sold me to these white people,
yes.
I would consider that I was traded by my own people.
Okay. So where you and I differ is a fundamental understanding.
This is historical fact. We were enslaved in Africa and sold through slave trade around the world. Majority of us went to South America.
We did.
United States of America, that we know today.
If you would not consider yourself stolen, that's something wrong with your internal compass.
Stolen by who?
Whoever stole you from another country. By black and white people. I'm trying to figure out
with looking at yourself as Black first before you're anything else. Black before you're American. Black before, you know, you're anything else. What's wrong with that?
Okay, because all Black people ain't the same. And like, for instance, we all different. So when I say I'm Black, what does that mean? The color of my skin.
Can I interject right there? No.
Black people from New York is different than Black people from the South. Black people from Africa that came over here as immigrants are very different than African Americans. We're all different. We're diverse, like anybody else. When white people say I'm white first, what does that mean?
I would ask that. Forget white folks, but I'm like, forget. We're not talking about them at this particular moment. Let's stick with Black people in this regard. When you talk about the slave trade, and you said we were enslaved and then traded all over the world. Who are those people? Black people.
I'm simply saying, if you identify
with that from an historical perspective, these are my ancestors. This is what we endured. This is where I come from. And that's what I identify with first, because to some degree, I'm still feeling some remnants of that. Even in today's society, I'm saying, if you identify yourself as Black before you identify yourself as American, what you're doing is saying, coming out of the womb, I'm going to be at a disadvantage because I'm in America and I'm going to have to scratch and claw and have an uphill climb. Now, that doesn't mean you give up. That doesn't mean you use it as a crutch. It doesn't mean that you sit up there and use that as a reason to be lackadaisical and have a defeatist attitude and don't work your way and maneuver your way through that terrain in order to get to that point. But it does mean you at least acknowledging that, yo, there are historical insidious acts that are associated with this particular nation that I live in. And as a result, I recognize the fact that I'm going to have to march forward and it's going to be a uphill climb for me to get to where I'm going. If somebody identifies that with Blackness, you can do that.
But Stephen A., that's not always true that every Black person have to suffer an uphill climb. That's not true. And we'll go back to like what I said. My ancestors came from Nigeria. So I know that, you know, through my ancestry.com research that my people came over here as slaves. Not every Black person in America came from slavery. It wasn't the case. Not every Black person in America migrated here and was in the South. Some of them went to the North and were indentured servants and they never were slaves. Some Black people came over here and became slave owners and were not slaves themselves. So it's a very dynamic differentiation between the experience of Black people in its totality as existing in America. So me saying I'm Black first before I'm an American, I think that's a misnomer. I think that's you're pigeonholing yourself, because if you are going to say I'm Black, that means negative. You're putting yourself at a disadvantage, man. And I say I'm an American first because I believe in American values. My ancestors fought that I can be free in this country. All of our ancestors were not the same, didn't come from the same countries, didn't speak the same languages. We are diverse people. And we don't need to be looking at a skin color, because I don't agree with a lot of stuff Black people do. We ain't the same people. If you sagging your pants and gang banging and doing stuff that you're not supposed to, we ain't the same. If you doing the right thing and raising your kids and having a family and doing all that stuff, then we are more similar. I have more similarities with white people than I do with some black people. So I don't wake up out of the womb. And I think about my kids. I'm in a blended family. I'm in a mixed family. Kids don't wake up every morning and be like, I'm black. No, Gary, what do you mean? You're born in America. You're an American.
Okay.
I'm so glad you said that.
Gary, I'm going to give you the last word because I got to end this soon. I'm going to give you the last word, but go ahead.
America is very specific about how it's handled black folks. You ever heard the word octoroon, Brother Tatum?
No, I haven't.
You know what? Well, you don't know what octoroon is. Octoroon is somebody who's 1/8 black. Okay? You ever heard of the word mulatto, I'm sure. Mulatto means you mix half black. You ever heard that before?
I've heard of the one drop rule and I heard of mulatto.
Okay, before. So in a country that has the ability to label whether you 1/8 black, they got for it. The Pope would be considered an octoroon. Pope Leo would be considered an American octoroon. I know this because this is the history of America that we were so specific. We have been so specific in this country that there are people who left this state to go other places to play white in order to get away with not having to deal with the issues of what they do to black people.
They used to. Brother,
my mother turns 80. My beautiful mother turns 80 on June 18th. She went to segregated schools in this country.
But she don't know more.
But because she had to fight tooth and nail in order for you and I to be able to sit here having this conversation.
So
and
now you need to move on.
And because the things that my mother fought for, they're attempting to do away with today. So we have to continue to fight every day. And maybe you don't understand that this is a struggle for black people because you identify as American before you identify as black. But I identify as black first. And black people have made America as good as it is today because this moralist sinful nation would not have come to the promise that it is today if it weren't for black people demanding more of this country.
And it wouldn't be as bad as it is today if it weren't for some black people cutting up every day.
Last point, Stephen, I want to make a point. He said that Democrats ain't do nothing. I want to bring up the governor of Maryland and the mayor of Baltimore. April, Baltimore had 4 homicides. May, they had 8 homicides. Historically, those cities had 30 homicides a month. In 2020, before this man was the mayor, they were having 20 and 30 homicides a month. The black governor, that's a Democrat, sent resources to the black mayor, that's a Democrat, and now there's a low crime rate
in the white police officers
in a majority black city with a majority black police force.
So the police officers did well.
The Democrats, the black Democrats did that.
So after years of failing Maryland, they did well. Now
when you finally put black people in charge, shit got cleaned up.
That's not true, but black people have been.
You got a black governor and a black mayor and the lowest homicide that you've had in that city in the last 100 years.
Because they're black? Is you saying they did it because they're black?
Because they know how to communicate with black people and effectively address the issues of black people.
And so white people can't.
They didn't.
Let me say this to y'all. I'm going to end this right now.
They're putting a gun in a black boy hand and tell them.
Argue with me on them numbers of them 4 homicides in April.
I'll go look it up. I can't fact check you, but I'll fact check
you. 4 homicides in April, 8 homicides in May.
Officer Tatum, Gary Chambers, let me say this to both of y'all, right? I got to end this right now, but I want you to know this is the first time that I've done this, and I've always planned on doing something just like this. Cats from both sides of the aisle, particularly from the black community, that could debate the issues. Because one of the things that I always get disgusted by, Gary, is that if you don't march lockstep as a leftist with the Democratic Party, you consider the sellout and called every name under the sun. I love the fact that you talked about it. It ain't about Republican or Democrat. I'm for black people. Officer Tatum, whether you like it or not, whether you like him or not, the bottom line is what he said. He says, I'm an American citizen. These are my beliefs. This is the ideology that I fall on, et cetera, et cetera. All of that ain't necessary. The point is we'll never get anywhere if we can't have a discussion with each other. And both of y'all did just that for my first episode of doing this. I really, really appreciate it. Y'all both set a big time standard for everybody to follow. And you know both of y'all are welcomed on anytime. You know that. This is family here. You understand? Both of y'all are welcomed on this show any damn time you want to come on. I really, really appreciate it. Edifying and educating my viewers and listeners and all of that stuff. There's a lot that everybody's going to learn from that, from both sides of the aisle. And I got both of y'all to thank for that, man. I just want to say that from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate both of y'all. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Stephen A.
Pleasure to meet you, Brother Tatum.
All right.
Likewise.
Y'all take it easy. That's the way to end it, y'all. Talk to y'all soon. Peace and love.